on May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd. Only on Paramount Plus.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Monday, October 21st, 2019. I am Dave Biddle, very happy to be joined by Bill Bank Green. Bank, Buckeyes are favored by 14.5 points against visiting Wisconsin this coming Saturday, high noon at the Horseshoe. When you think about this game, what comes to mind?
Well, I think over the years, Wisconsin is a team that they're easy to prepare for. You know, they would be the opposite of playing Oklahoma with Lincoln Riley, with all their different variations, different looks, all the motion, everything they do to try to confuse you. With Wisconsin, it's just, you know, we're coming right after you and we're going to see who the better man is. And they don't trick you. They don't fool you. They really don't confuse you. They're just playing old style football, and it's mano on mano, and we're going to see who's going to win all these individual battles. So to me, I mean, I think they're really tailor made to play. I mean, for Ohio State to play. And I think Ohio State's record against them is really good because Ohio State can usually match their physicality across the board. And then you out athlete them at the skill positions. So you neutralize line play, and then your DBs are better than their wide receivers, and your wide receivers are better than their DBs. And that usually ends up being the difference for Ohio State. And that's what I expect this week. I mean, Wisconsin's going to come in and play hard. They're going to battle. They're going to fight. They're very well coached. They do what they do, and they do it well. But I just think in the end, the athletic ability of Ohio State, the fact that they're at home, you know, I think it'll be a comfortable win this week. I really do. I think 14.5 is probably – it might not be enough, really, because if Ohio State can get them down, then it forces them to do things that they do not like to do. You know, they're better off throwing the football when they want to throw it rather than when they have to throw it. So them being down 10 points is not a good situation for them. You know, the opposite would be if they get a 10-point lead on you, then the game's over in about a half hour, and you don't get that many possessions then. So, I mean, I think it's pretty cut and dried. If Ohio State stops the Wisconsin run and puts them in a lot of third and longs and a lot of three and outs, then Ohio State's going to dominate time of possession, and the Wisconsin defense is going to wear out. And that's pretty much how I see this game going.
The beat goes on for the Buckeyes. I mean, they were favored by 28 over Northwestern. A lot of people are like, hey, are they going to be able to cover that spread? I know a lot of sharps in Vegas were saying take Northwestern, and all the Buckeyes do is win by 49, 51-3. Then the next morning, next afternoon, I guess, Wisconsin's going to have an easy game against Illinois, right? Or Illinois will have the biggest upset in the Big Ten in a couple of decades. Illinois beats Wisconsin 24-23 on that last-second field goal. Three turnovers for the Badgers, including a late interception by Jack Cohn. Man, was that shocking. Were you watching the game, and just how, you know, what was your reaction?
Shocked, you know, really shocked. I kind of thought Illinois was getting a little better, but by a little better, I just thought they were moving out of the Rutgers and Maryland realm.
Right.
And, you know, kind of getting into the maybe average range, but I didn't think they were ready to take on Wisconsin. You know, they did play Michigan good. They were down early against Michigan, and they fought their way back. But I just thought Wisconsin's, you know, a lot better than Michigan, and, you know, there's no chance here. But like I say, it put Wisconsin in a position that they don't want to be in, and they're forced to throw, and it doesn't work. So, you know, we'll see what happens this week. I mean, I think this game – I think after about a quarter and a half, you're going to know where this game's going. I mean, if Wisconsin could jump out to a 14-3 lead, that game's probably going to go to the wire. If Ohio State's up 14-0 right out of the chute, then Wisconsin has a problem. So, I mean, I think it's really cut and dried this week. I think it's just physical ability against physical ability. I don't think there's a lot of fooling or, you know, a lot of trick plays or a lot to prepare for. It's just be ready to be in a battle. And, you know, the better man will win.
Saturday night, everybody, I'm sure in Buckeye Nation, was watching the Penn State-Michigan game. Penn State jumps out to a 21-0 lead, and they had to hang on. Penn State wins 28-21 over Michigan. My biggest takeaway, Bank, I didn't think either team looked very good. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was like two football games, two different games. You know, early on, Penn State looked like they were just going to run them out of the building. And, you know, we've seen situations like this in the past where, you know, it's been a home team dominated series. The past 3 years, those scores were all like 45-10 in favor of the home team. The home team starts fast, and they just beat the visitor into the ground, you know, and that's what I thought was happening again here. And somehow, you know, Harbaugh got his team righted, and they were the better team in the second half, where Penn State dominated first half. And you wouldn't think that Michigan offense would be able to come back from being down, you know, two or three scores, but they did. And I felt if Ronnie Bell makes that catch in the end zone and that game goes to overtime, I really felt Michigan was going to win that game. I thought they had the momentum. They were really moving the ball on offense. Penn State was going nowhere at that point. So, you know, I thought Penn State was clearly the better team in the first half and Michigan was the better team in the second half. And yeah, it ended up being a really entertaining game in the end. I mean, it was a great game. And, you know, like I say, it was probably Michigan's last stand. You know, it was a game they needed desperately. They fought it out. And if they wouldn't have dug so big of a hole, they probably could have won that game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, and even digging the hole, as you said, if Ronnie Bell makes that catch, and that kid's never going to live that down. He seems like a really good player, too. He's never going to live that
player.
Down.
He's a good player. Yeah,
just
he's a really good player.
Just ask Ryan Hamby. Yeah, and Ryan Hamby's a good guy. Just ask Ryan, when you hear the name Ryan Hamby, what's the first thing? I don't even need to say the rest of the sentence. Buckeye fans know what I'm talking about. So that kid will never live that down. All right, let's move on and talk some recruiting. What's the latest with running back recruiting? Give me some good news here, Bank. Is there anything going on? Any good news you can pass along to the listeners about 2020 running back recruiting?
Well, I think, you know, Mayan Williams, I really believe if he and his mother will find a way to Ohio State's campus, and you know, at the pace they're moving at, you know, you would think that Ohio State was located in you know, the middle of Russia or something, because they really seem to have a hard time getting from Cincinnati to Columbus, and that's a sense of concern. You know, in the past they've had a hard time getting him on the phone. He's had this Ohio State offer for a long time. You know, he could have hitchhiked to Columbus by now. I mean, it's hard to believe that if you're very, very interested in Ohio State and you get an offer from the Buckeyes, it's hard for me to believe that it takes a month or 6 weeks for you to come visit. But that's where they're at. Now, I think if he does visit with his mom, I think there's a great chance that Ohio State will flip him from Iowa State. But if you just look on the surface, I mean, he never shows up, you know, and it's kind of hard to believe, you know, that he's an hour and a half away. So I think they can get him. I have a crystal ball pick on Mayan Williams to flip to Ohio State. But the longer this goes, and he doesn't show any sense of interest or urgency at all. He just keeps saying, I'm going to visit. But, you know, for Ohio State's sake, I think they would like that visit to take place, you know, today. So we'll see what happens. If he does visit, I think they can really lay out the red carpet and really lay out their program. And I think they can flip him. But we'll see. Devontae Bradford, I just don't think they were all that enthralled with him. They're keeping him warm. I think if, you know, things fall apart with Mayan Williams and they don't get Jahmyr Gibbs, then maybe they turn to Devontae Bradford. But I don't think he could call him right now and commit. I don't think they're getting E.J. Smith. I don't think Michael Drennan in Ohio State, I don't think that's going to work out for either party. And, you know, the Gibbs kid just got offered by Alabama, and that was not something Ryan Day wanted to see. You know, they can still get this kid. They got to get him on campus. But, you know, you'd rather go against Georgia Tech than Alabama for this kid. So not really a lot of great news right now. I think the good news is the emergence of, you know, Crowley and Teague, and even Steele Chambers has looked good. So maybe the sense of urgency isn't there, but I mean, running back recruiting looked a lot better when there were crystal ball picks for Bijan Robinson and Jalen Knighton than it does today. And there's no way to spin that. So not been a great run. It's been a great run on and off the field and recruiting and everything, but running back recruiting would be the one thing that kind of is sticking out as a, you know, not so positive area.
But you make a great point about Master Teague and Crowley. I mean, Teague looks really good, and hell, he looks so good. I mean, he could be so good next year. I don't want to get ahead of myself and piss the listeners off there. I already can feel them getting mad at me for saying this. Teague looks so good to me, I wouldn't be surprised if he's 3-and-done at Ohio State. He'll be a third-year sophomore next year. I hope I'm wrong. I hope he stays longer than that. But be a good problem to have if he's that good next year and then he, you know, is that good where you can leave early. Go ahead.
It's the greatest problem you can have. I mean, you want a team full of 3-and-out guys. That means that you're putting NFL dudes on the field.
Yep.
You've got a lot of four-year guys coming back playing for you. I mean, that has worked for Iowa, and it's worked for Michigan State on occasion, and works kind of at Wisconsin, but those guys don't win national titles. You know what I mean? You win national titles with Zeke Elliott's and Joey Bosa's, and those guys are 3-and-out guys, and you want 85 of those guys. I mean, you want all NFL players all over your field, and as long as you're continuing to recruit at that level, you're fine. You know, you lose guys like that, and you plug the next dude in, and away you go. So, yeah, I think Master Teague, you know, he's a running back. Running backs don't like to stay 4 years. So he's going to go into next season looking to go to the NFL. I promise you that. Now, we got the cart way ahead of the horse with him, I tell you. But, you know, your point is well taken. I mean, he would be on my list of an early NFL entry guy. You know, when you project what he did this year over a full year next year, he looks like a high draft pick to me. So I think your point's well taken.
Yeah, he looks like – I'm not just saying this because he wears a number 33. Maybe that's part of it psychology, like, you know, psychologically. But he looks like a better version of Joe Montgomery. And Joe Montgomery was really good. I mean, he just – I just like the way he runs that football. All right, last thing. They have 24 commits so far in the 2020 class. How many can they take? How many do you think they will take in this class, Bank?
Well, you know, we went through that little – problem early in the year where they thought they were stuck at 25 and they were the only school in America that really thought that. And, you know, the other ones knew that it wasn't true. So now that's cleared up. I think they're going to get CJ Stroud. I think they're going to get another defensive end. They're hoping it's Tyler Barron, and they're in a battle with Kentucky for him. I think they're going to get one more running back for sure. I think they would take two if they could get Mayan Williams and Gibbs. I'm not sure they can. And since they got Ryan Watts, I don't think there's the urgency there now to take another DB. I think they're fine there. So I think they can fit three more, maybe four more. And then, you know, you wait and see where things are at. You get closer to signing day. That's when the craziness happens, especially down south with kids that have been committed to schools for 16 months and then they decommit and find a new school in 16 days. So I think if Elias Ricks falls in their lap somehow, they'll find a way to take him. If one of these big-time running backs is unhappy with their situation and they, you know, feel like they want to change the scenery, they would make room for one of the big-timers. So I think they'll take three more, four more, and then leave open the possibility that if a superstar falls in your lap, you make room and you take him.
Great stuff, as always, from Bill Bank Green. Always love having you on the show, man. You always come strong. Appreciate it, Bank, and I appreciate all the listeners out there for tuning into the show. Hope everyone has a great day. Let's hear that Buckeye swag, best damn band in the land.
Hey, MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.